I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at TVTimeMachine.com.
Hey, Pop, I've been waiting forever so long.
You're 10 years old again, Pip. How come you're 10 years old again?
That's what I am, Pop. I'm 10 years old. And it's Saturday night. You said to meet you on the Midway. And I've been waiting. I was afraid you weren't going to come.
But I don't understand. I really don't understand.
Sometimes you don't show up, Pop. Sometimes you're sick or something.
You remember what I used to say, Pip, you remember?
I remember.
I used to say, hey, Pip, who's your best buddy?
Hey, Pop, you're my best buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the book As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, written by Ann Serling, daughter of the legendary writer and creator of The Twilight Zone, as she joins us for the next hour, exploring another dimension of this remarkable gentleman. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we ask you to travel with us as we explore another dimension of legendary writer and creator of The Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. In this edition of our program, we are proud to welcome Ann Serling, author of the book As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling. Ms. Serling's extraordinary book sheds a more personal light on this remarkable gentleman whose love for his daughters and family was as boundless and timeless as infinity. Over the next few segments, Ann Serling will help us explore virtually every aspect of her life's journey with her dad while we discuss her moving and poignant book about the eternal bond of love and friendship forged between father and daughter. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to take a journey into the wondrous land of Rod Serling, feel free to check that signpost up ahead as we slip from the restraints of the present to guarantee that our next stop is the past. Ann, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Well, thank you for having me.
Ann, what inspired you to write your book, As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling?
Well, part of why I wrote the book was I'd had such a difficult time for so many years after my father died, and like my dad, I found it cathartic to write. So that was part of it. Another part was I was, after the certain quote-unquote biographies came out about my father, I was so horrified by what they had written that I decided I needed to set the record straight. They depicted somebody that was totally unrecognizable to me, this dark and tortured soul, and that was not who my father was at all. So that was a piece of it. And also, you know, as I said, it was just a way to work through my grief.
Do you feel that this was the best point in time in your life to write this book as opposed to writing it years earlier?
I actually tried to write this years earlier. In about 10 years after my father died, I started a book I called In His Absence. And I was clearly not ready to write about my dad at that point. I was still really grieving, and it just wasn't the right time. So it took all these years to really write the book I wanted to write.
When you were researching your book, what was the biggest surprise to you? Did you discover something that really surprised you?
I think I knew that my father had, you know, like anybody that goes to war, he'd had a very difficult time and certainly suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, although in those days it wasn't, I think it was called being shell-shocked or something. People weren't really aware of it or didn't really have a name for it. And as I was writing this book and going through my dad's old letters that he wrote to his parents and that his parents wrote to him, and remembering my father when he would have nightmares that the Japanese were coming at him, I know that he had a really difficult time, and by reading these letters and sort of revisiting this through his eyes, that was tough.
Your book, as you're talking about, is very honest and personal. How and when did you decide to be so open about your life experiences?
Well, that was sort of a difficult journey. When I first wrote the book and I gave it to the editor, she'd made the comment to me way back that my grief was so central to this book that I really needed to pull that out more and be more open, and that was a challenge. But I think one of the things that happened was when I did an early reading of the book, and after I was done, a woman came up to me and said that her father was dying of a terminal illness, and she knew that after hearing me read that she was going to be okay. And that meant so much to me that I had, you know, my words had touched her on some level. And I realized that, you know, by going deeper, it was helpful to other people, too.
What was the most positive experience you had while you were writing As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling?
I think, again, that the woman that came up to me after I did the reading, that just meant so much to me. That I, you know, again, my words had touched her and helped her on some level. I think another positive thing was meeting one of my dad's old war buddies. That meant a great deal. Talking to his old friends, revisiting Binghamton through one of his very close friends, childhood friends' eyes.
Yes, because you actually interviewed, what I take from reading your book, is looks like you actually conducted some fresh interviews.
Right. Julie Golden is one of my dad's oldest childhood friends, and we talked at great length about this book, as I did also with Russ Schwen, who was the war buddy. A lot of his old war buddies have died, and unfortunately, you know, I didn't know them when I was writing this book, and so I lost that opportunity.
Did his war buddies say anything about your dad and his war experiences that really made an impact on you?
I think the most profound thing was when Russ Schwen told me that he remembered when my father got the news that his father had died, and Russ said to me he saw my father coming around the corner and he'd never seen anyone so devastated. That had a huge impact on me because I know that my dad was, you know, not only traumatized by the war, but also that his father died while he was overseas and he wasn't able to go home for the funeral. You know, I don't know that they talked a lot about their war experiences. I have a friend whose dad was in World War II, and he's, you know, 80-some years old, and is just now being able to verbalize, you know, what that experience was like.
Now, most people know your dad, Rod Serling, from his classic TV series, The Twilight Zone. But what was he really like? If we were going to go out for a cup of coffee, what would he be like in person?
I think the thing that surprised people mostly is how down-to-earth he was, how interested he would be in what you did, what you were thinking, probably would ask you about your politics, and that he was just very funny, very warm and very funny, brilliantly funny, actually.
Which is amazing, considering what happened with his war experiences and whatnot. He could have become so bitter that he would have no sense of humor about anything, but he had, like you said, such an acute sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's a complication that many people feel when they have all that stress, but he had a, you know, he was very empathetic, and had a huge heart.
Now, you talk in your book, you talk a lot about your friends and their impressions of when they met your dad. What did they generally say when they met your father, and what were their impressions?
Well, I had one friend, and she wrote me something for the book that she remembered that I had invited her to go out to dinner with my dad and me, and she was a little apprehensive, not knowing what he would be like despite everything I had told her. And her reaction, which would match, I think, all of my friends, was that, you know, how funny and warm he was and down to earth and almost like having another friend with you. You know, just fun.
Well, not only that, he loved practical jokes. Tell us about that. What kind of practical jokes did he indulge in?
Well, there was one that I always heard when he and my mother first got married, and she had gone out to get something, and they were living in a trailer on campus at Antioch College, and there was a hatch in the top of the trailer, and he'd gotten into that and hung his head down, sort of like a bat.
Right.
And apparently he was up there for quite some time because she was gone longer than expected. And when she walked back in, he said, "Good evening," hanging down from the and scared the hell out of her. And I guess the rest of that story is that he got stuck. And she thought that he deserved it. So they had to get some friends to help him out. But he was always doing things like that, or just sort of appearing one time in my lampshade and funny little outfits and just anything for a joke. He used to do a great gorilla.
I know, I've seen pictures of that. And
it was something you did quite a bit.
Oh my God. Really, it's like frighteningly realistic. It's amazing.
It's pretty flawless.
So what did your mom think of these practical jokes?
I think what she used to say to me, don't laugh at him, you're only encouraging him. But it really was so funny. She sort of, you know, grinned and she bared it, but she thought he was pretty funny, too.
So that Rod Serling really is antithetical to his image.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what you were trying to communicate in this book as well.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, Annie, in your book, As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, you talk about your dad's early years. Now, how would you describe his childhood?
I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that his childhood was idyllic. I think it was just a very, very happy time. You know, growing up in Binghamton, which was sort of this bucolic town at that point, I think much of what you see in that Twilight Zone episode, Walking Distance, you know, it was something he did always want to return to. It was, you know, he had tons of friends, and, you know, they had the carousel, and it just was a great time.
So it was a rather dramatic and traumatic contrast when your dad volunteered for the service. Tell us about that.
I think, you know, like a lot of young kids at that point, they were sort of not realistic about what was happening. Maybe they obviously had no real idea what they were in for. He had wanted to go to Europe and fight the Nazis, and I think he was quite disappointed that he was sent to the Philippines. But one thing that I realized as I was writing the book and, you know, reading these letters that my dad was writing to his parents from training camp, and I mentioned this in the book, that it was like reading letters that, you know, to a child that was at summer camp. You know, it really drove home what a kid he was, you know, asking, you know, for candy, and his father saying, you know, he sent brownies and comic books and, you know, just, and then to be, you know, thrown into war. I just can't even imagine.
How did your dad's war experiences affect him ultimately, and did they change him?
Originally my father had planned to major in physical education because, as he said, you know, he liked working with kids. I think probably part of why he became a writer was because of the war experiences. And, you know, there was a quote that he wrote because he needed to get this stuff out of his gut. He needed to get it off his chest.
How did your mom and dad meet?
They met at Antioch College.
Now, what do you think the qualities were that your dad had that attracted your mom to him?
Well, my dad was charming and funny, and I'm sure very different from other guys that she'd probably dated, and I think she knew he was bright. I think she'd heard that before she'd even actually met him, and certainly handsome. But I think probably his sense of humor drew her.
Now, you mentioned that he was studying physical education. So what were the events that led to his decision to start writing for a living and writing for television?
Well, again, I think, you know, it was, you know, when he got to Antioch and he was, I think, going through some post-traumatic stress then and would go up on the tennis court and drink. And I think at some point he realized he needed to get this, as he said, you know, get this out of his gut. And that was when he started to write.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Ann Serling, author of the book As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.